Good morning, and welcome to your Tuesday Daily. I'm Krista Case Bryant, the editor of the Christian Science Monitor. After 45 years of reporting and editing, Francine Kiefer is hanging up her press pass. Francine spent most of her career with the Christian Science Monitor, serving as the paper's Germany bureau chief when the Berlin Wall fell, as its White House correspondent covering the administrations of former presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, and as its congressional reporter. For the past 6 years, Francine has served as the West Coast bureau chief, winning multiple awards for her regional coverage. She joins me now in the Monitor studios. So, Francine, today you have a farewell letter to young journalists in our package, and that's something I personally can attest to because I remember my first week as an intern, you were visiting from Washington, and you said, "Krista, my lunch date fell through, so I'm taking you to lunch, whether you like it or not."
I really say whether you like it or not?
No, but you really did say this is what's happening. And that just started 21 years of a wonderful mentoring relationship that's been full of the same kind of frankness and generosity. And I'm just so grateful to you, Francine. One of my favorite stories, Francine, that you tell in your letter is about the time that you had an opportunity as a White House pool reporter to ask President George Bush a question in the days after 9/11. Will you tell us about that?
Sure. One of the points that I make in the letter to young journalists is that you need to think strategically. And this was a case of having to think strategically. As a pool reporter, you are among a small group of reporters who is going to follow the president around for the day. And there's also a pecking order, and I represented print. So I was not going to be asking the first question. And as we were waiting to come into the Oval Office to talk with President Bush, this was 2 days after 9/11, I was thinking strategically about what I was going to ask the president that the other reporters in front of me would not be asking. And I was very interested in his state of mind. For him as a president, he was under incredible pressure, right? And I knew that the next day there was going to be a National Day of Prayer at the Washington National Cathedral. And I also knew that President Bush is a man of deep faith. And this question sprang from my own curiosity. I was wondering, how is he tending to his spiritual needs right now? What is he actually praying for himself? So that was the question that I asked. And the response was just remarkable. He turned his back away from the press in the Oval Office. And when he turned back to face us, his eyes were just welled with tears. His face was red. And he said, "Well, I don't think of myself right now. I think about the families, the children." And then he made a very quick exit after that. And it was an astonishing moment because it was the first time the president had ever shown emotion after this really tragic and jarring historical event. And it revealed that even he was feeling deeply emotional about this whole issue. And when I went downstairs to visit and see the press corps and file my report and everything, I was getting high fives and great question. But it really wasn't anything I was doing to try and get this amazing response, right? It went viral on television. It was just trying to think about what is a question that I can ask that is unique, that no one else will ask, that will shed light on the president's state of mind right now.
Well, you've shared so many strategic thoughts like that with me over the years that I've so appreciated. And I know you've really helped bring up a whole new generation of Monitor correspondents who hopefully will still be on the front lines thinking strategically about how they can bring the best reporting to not only our Monitor readers, but others who, as in your situation, were blessed by that as well. So thank you so much, Francine, for all that you've given to the Monitor.
Oh, it has been a pleasure. It's been wonderful, a wonderful career.
First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. A big week in U.S.-China trade began. Talks in Stockholm are scheduled to last 3 days, with a trade truce set to expire August 12th. President Donald Trump has said that his administration was close to reaching a deal, but China appeared to be set to make new demands, owing to some recent global export wins and other momentum. China has seen the U.S. allow the sale of NVIDIA chips to China and stop seeking to pull the visas of Chinese students on U.S. campuses. The U.S. shortened Russia's deadline on Ukraine. Mr. Trump said he will set a new 10- or 12-day deadline, having previously cited 50 days. At meetings with European leaders in Scotland, he expressed frustration over Russian President Vladimir Putin's lack of progress on a deal over the three-year war in Ukraine, threatening additional sanctions on Russia and buyers of its exports unless an agreement is reached by early September. Also, women legislators are pushing for bathroom parity. State houses across the United States are now addressing long-standing facility disparities. In Kentucky, a $300 million renovation, expected to be finished by 2028, will add more bathrooms for the 41 women lawmakers who risk missing debates or votes if they need to wait in line. Similar efforts are underway in Georgia. Advocates say these changes symbolize a shift toward respect and equality, ensuring public spaces meet the needs of all lawmakers and the public. Now, today's Monitor Stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. The Trump administration faces pressure to release additional files from investigations of sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Here's what's known from two decades of lawsuits and what could come from efforts to reveal more. Henry Gass reports for The Monitor. One of the biggest challenges to rebuilding Syria may prove to be environmental. Years of drought causing crop yields to fall dramatically are compounded by the dearth of post-war resources to address the problem. Dominique Sogel reports from Deir ez-Zor region, Syria, for The Monitor.
It's Francine again. In a letter to readers and a new generation of journalists, I offer a peek behind the scenes at how reporters do their jobs and what really matters over the course of a long career. I write from Los Angeles for The Monitor.
The ceasefire reached between Thailand and Cambodia on Monday could help hundreds of thousands of displaced people return home, but it will not end the country's long simmering border dispute or repair the troubling precedent set during the latest bout of fighting. Christopher Cottrell reports from Daeru Dom, Thailand, for The Monitor. What's the secret to fine philo, or anything, really? As our writer learns from her Greek teacher, it's not in exact measurements or complicated techniques. It's cooking something meaningful by heart and feel. Caroline Lubbers writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on upturns and U-turns in Ukraine. Last week, Ukraine saw its first political protest since Russia's 2022 invasion. They were an eye-opener on how fast a people can reveal their civic integrity. Over several days in most big cities, thousands of young Ukrainians took to the streets, despite the war, to demonstrate against a new law that restricts the independence of two anti-corruption agencies. We don't want to be like Russia, one protester, Sasha Kazonswa, told The Guardian. President Volodymyr Zelensky, who came to power in 2019 on a campaign to root out corruption, quickly reversed his support of the law, which gave him powers over graft investigations. He submitted a new bill that would largely restore the autonomy of the two bodies. Parliament is expected to vote on it in coming days. It is important that Ukrainians are responding with such dignity, Mr. Zelensky said. The president and others in the political elite may not have been aware of a shift in society's values, especially among young people. In opinion surveys done in Ukraine for the United Nations in recent years, key values such as freedom, equality, justice, and dignity have become much more relevant. The surveys found, for example, that people have become more interested in fundamental rights and less concerned about their wallets and well-being in the context of wartime uncertainty. That growth in values includes higher support for a level playing field over paternalism and for liberty over stability and personal safety. Since 2020, the Ukrainians have started to protect their rights by contacting the police, appealing to lawyers and the free legal aid system or local authorities more often. Among young people, 59% believe that what happens to Ukraine is their problem, an increase of 24 percentage points from 2021. The Ukrainian nation is rapidly maturing, said Tetyana Pachonchik, head of a human rights group. A 2024-25 survey by the Kyiv International Institute of Sociology found a sharp rise in the belief of equal opportunity, that the state should provide equal starting conditions, and then individuals succeed through effort. The war has helped unveil the natural volition of Ukrainians to create good governance and ensure equal rights. When such values appear in jeopardy, the new civic consciousness drives people to the streets. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how looking to God for an understanding of our true identity frees us from pain and suffering. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Mackenzie Farkas, and Hannah Gucke.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.